We're going to be in Esther, if you want to go to Esther chapter 3. Esther chapter 3, verse 7. I won't read that just yet. But, you know, we all experience some sort of conflicts with people. You know, those conflicts, maybe you can attest to it. It can ignite anger on the other person, maybe anger on you. And tonight, we're going to find that this certain conflict, it ignited anger in a person and it resulted in a desire to bring harm, in this case, to destroy all of God's people, Israel. And it all happened because of a certain conflict that happened between two people, between Mordecai and Haman. If you know the story, we're going to, you know, might be a little refresher, but there's some things that God wants to point out to me. And if you don't know the story, I encourage you to read the book of Esther. You know, it's important to seek peace, but remain bold in your faith. And I think on Wednesday, I might have misquoted this verse. And I always feel bad when I do that because I always want to make sure that I say speak it correctly. But Matthew chapter 5, it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." I think on Wednesday I said, "For they shall see God." But correctly, it says, "For they shall be called the sons of God." And so we as children of God, we ought to look forward to being peacemakers. We ought to look forward that in the midst of a conflict, we don't say, "Well, hey, I want to give you a piece of my mind. Well, hey, you know what? I got to stand up for my rights." Listen, when Jesus came to die for us and we surrendered our life to him, we surrendered our rights. That's what pick up our cross and carry it daily means. We've surrendered our rights and say, "God, you are our God." So if people want to poke fun at me or call me names, calling them names back, that's just going to, you know, pour gas on the fire of this conflict. And so we find out here that something happened between Haman and Mordecai. But I'm not saying that Mordecai was in the wrong because what he did was important. You see, it's important to seek peace. And even scripture tells us soft answers turns away wrath. As a husband, I'm learning that this is an ongoing thing, but I'm learning soft answers turns away heated disagreements and Shannon's wrath. So, I'm just playing. But, you know, soft answers turns away wrath. If I know that we've said this many times, or so if some of you never heard of this, but there was one time that we had this heated disagreement. I call them heated disagreements. This sounds better than a full-blown fight. But a heated disagreement, and then we're discussing of how I raised my voice, and she realized it once she went home to visit my family and we're all eating dinner or just hanging out in the kitchen or living room. Everyone just talks over everyone. And when you're telling a story and someone's telling a little bit, you just talk a little bit louder so you can keep telling the story and they can just wait, you know, because when you're done. And so we're having this heated disagreement. And then I said, "You just want me to talk to you like a princess, don't you?" And she's like, I mean, like 2 sec, not even a split, not even a second. She's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. End of the disagreement. Okay." But that's just something that I've had to learn over the years in marriage. Soft answers turns away wrath. Because when you're in a heated disagreement and you're having this, you know, you want to say, you know, whatever you want to say. All right, then. All right, fine. The other person wants to end up having the last, "All right, fine." The other person says, "Well, yeah, well, fine." And then so it's going back and forth because both people want to have their last say. How many of you can agree to that? You've found out that you want to have your last say. All right, so that's not peacemaking. But anyway, Proverbs chapter 15, like I said, put your finger there in Esther chapter 3. But Proverbs 15 verses 1, 2, and 4, it says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness." Verse 4, "A wholesome tongue." Wholesome in the Hebrew is marpe. That's the word, marpe. It means curative. Literally a medicine. So a tongue of medicine, of healing, of remedy is a tree of life. But perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So again, we as believers ought to look forward to being peacemakers because why? We are the children of God. So ever since the captivity, I'm just kind of giving you guys a little before information, before reading Esther 3:7. Ever since the captivity of and exodus of Israel from Egypt, many nations have attempted to annihilate God's people. Haman had this plan, and his plan, we find out, I'm going to, you know, mess up the story for you if you've never read it. But Haman's plan backfires, just like the many nations before him have tried to. Nations can try to remove God's people, but they will always fail. Why? This one word, Emmanuel. God is with us. God is with them. So any nation tries to come up against Israel, and today we find that there are nations trying to strategically place themselves around Israel. Why? Because they want, for some reason, that little small piece of land. They want to ruin, annihilate, and destroy. You know, the thing is that while Haman had this plan, it was before Germans had the plan. Germany wanted to have this plan to annihilate all Jews. And that's why we have this horrible story of the Holocaust. And so today we're going to learn from Mordecai and Esther some three things. Number one, step out in faith as you honor God. That can be difficult in itself. But when you learn who you're stepping out to and learning who you're stepping out with, those steps forward can be a little bit helpful, can be a little bit easier. But it's still scary. How many of you can agree to that? Taking a step of faith can be a little scary. Why? Because you're stepping out into unknown. You don't know what's there. But if you know who's already there and who's going with you, those steps will be easier made. Number two, we're going to learn to prepare your actions for unexpected events. Number three, remain steadfast in a faithful God. We sang about that this morning. Remain steadfast in a faithful God. Our God is faithful. Amen. So I want to just, again, Haman and Mordecai. Now, Mordecai is a Jew. Now, this is something that you ever find something like, oh, I always thought it was this. I always thought Mordecai was Esther's uncle. But when you find out Mordecai and Esther were cousins, as I read, it says Mordecai, his uncle's daughter, because she had no mother and father, he took her in as his daughter. So I that was something new. So maybe it was new to you, but it was new to me. Esther and Mordecai were cousins. I always thought that, you know, she was his uncle. So he maintained his conviction not to bow to anyone but God. And thus this created the conflict. Haman was promoted. Now, I want to say second in command, but it doesn't actually say that. But that's just kind of the mentality that I have. Haman was promoted above all the princes in the land. And so there was a king and there was nobody else that was mentioned. And so Haman is given this promotion. Because he's given his promotion, he's doing daily visits outside, you know, the meet and greet with people. And as he's out there, people are paying homage or respecting. That's what homage is, an explanation of respect to Haman. But Mordecai doesn't. He's the only one that doesn't bow. And they tell him, hey, aren't you going to bow? You know, this is Haman. This is, you know, King Ahasuerus's, you know, main man here. Aren't you? He said no. You see, Mordecai knew or maintained his conviction, and he knew God. And even though he worked in the king's palace, he remained steadfast in honoring God. So this was the reason why he didn't bow down before Haman. But Haman was filled with wrath because he did not pay respect or high regard. Thus, the anger that leads to the attempt to massacre all the Jews. So we read Esther chapter 3, verse 7. It says, in the first month, which is the month of Nisan, not Honda, but Nisan. No, I'm kidding. In the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast pur, means they cast lots before Haman to determine the day and the month until it fell on the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. They were casting lots on finding out what day they were going to kill all the Jews. What is the day? Let's go ahead and, you know, flip a quarter. Is it Tuesday? I'm not sure how they cast lots, but it says that they cast lots to determine when they were actually going to go and annihilate all the Jews. Verse 8, then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all other people, and they do not keep the king's laws. Now, remember, Haman's problem was not with the Jews until he found out Mordecai's a Jew. His conflict was with Mordecai. But once he found out Mordecai, I mean, this is just a little picture of how deep anger can go. You can allow anger to steep in, or bitterness to steep in your heart. It can go deep down that you'll begin to start hating or displeasing other people, and they didn't even do anything to you. A common example, racism. I'm not sure what you grew up with, what you were brought up, you know, believing. But a certain people group, no matter who they are, but a certain people group, why do you hate them? As children of God, we ought to not hate anyone. But somehow it stems from some person hating this person. So because of that person's nationality, now I hate everybody and I want to annihilate everybody because that's his nationality. So that's just, I mean, this right here, racism, we see it for itself. Verse 9, he says, if it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do the work to bring it into the king's treasuries. So the king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. And the king said to Haman, the money and the people are given to you. Do with them as seems good to you. Let's drop down to verse 13. And the letters were sent by courier into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all the Jews. Just imagine you're receiving mail and that everyone that's, because of your nationality, you are going to be killed. This is what happened. Everyone saw that as the couriers went and passing this decree, Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, on the 13th day of the 12th month. I thought, wow, 13, maybe it was a Friday. I don't know. I'm not making a joke, but I was just thinking that. The 13th day. But I'm just trying to picture having received a notice that on the 13th, what's today? All right. So the 13th. Because you're Jewish, you're going to be killed. There ain't no stopping it unless you take off and leave the land. But you're going to die. You, your husband, your wife, and your kids are all going to die. Verse 14, a copy of the document was to be issued as law in every province. It was going to get out, being published for all people, that they should be ready for that day. The couriers went out, hastened by the king's command, and the decree was proclaimed in Shushan, the citadel. So the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you would give us revelation, Lord, of how, Lord, the bad news that Mordecai and Esther and all these Jews experienced. God, how does that relate to us, God? And Lord, what are we to do to prepare our lives, Lord? We ask, God, that you will give the revelation to us, Father, from your word today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the day is set for the removal of all the Jews. Their belongings would become plunder. Listen, we need to learn to step out in faith as you honor God. Leave it in God's hands as you walk in faith. The title of this message is Getting There from Here. Listen, stepping over fear will help us to get there from here. And we find what Mordecai did, it seemed as almost immediately. We find out what the Jews did, and it seems almost immediately. We find out what Esther does. And the stepping out in faith, the stepping over fear will help us to get there from here. Listen, this time next year, God does not want you to still be here. I'm going to say it again. Where you are at right now, this time next year, God does not want you to still be here. He wants you to get there. But you have to learn to step over the fear. Well, what is it going to look like? Or what am I going to step into? Well, what if nothing's there? Fear has a way of causing us not to move, doesn't it? It has a way of causing you not to move, just to stay there. Listen, if we don't move, we are actually stepping away. We're stepping away from where God wants us to go. So even if we don't move, we're already, kind of like that phrase, if you don't say anything, you're already saying something. If we don't step out and step over fear and step out in faith, we are actually stepping somewhere, and we're stepping away from where God wants us to be. Can I just get somebody to, let me get two volunteers. So, Noah, come on up here, and an adult. Christine. You want to stand right over there next to your honey and just stand over there. Noah, come on over here. I want you to hold it like this. I'm going to have you turn around here in a little bit. Not yet. All right. Now, Christine, this is not in any way because you're older. This is not in any way to poke fun or anything. But I want you to just shout out what's on this piece of paper. All right. So you have to hold it up above your head. All right. Ready? Turn it around. No. No. Yes. Good. Okay. Now go ahead. Change the paper. Does that make it any better?
Not really there.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. You can be seated. I had it like this so that we can see when we get close, it's there. But from far away, it doesn't look like there is there. Okay. In stepping over fear, I can't see it. It's there. Why? God already said it's there. There's something there for us. And I'm going to be saying there a lot. Can you go to the yeah, there you go. There. I'm going to be saying there a lot, okay? God desires for us to get there. Huh? God desires for us to get there. Not T here. It's there. All right? He desires us to get there. Where is there? It's not here. Where is there? What's there? Well, whatever's there, it's not here. Kind of making the joke in words here. Ultimately, there is heaven. Ultimately, at the end. God wants us to get there, doesn't he? And ultimately, it's heaven. But while we're walking with him, God wants us to get there. So next month, he wants us to get there. Well, what is there? God will reveal it to you and he'll show you. But you got to learn and prepare. You got to prepare yourself, but you got to learn to step over fear and step in faith to what God has for you. I can't tell you what God has for you next month. I can't tell you what God has for you when you get if you get your taxes back and you got a refund. I don't know. I can't tell you how much and what to do with it, but God will. I can't tell you what to do. You can't tell me what to do when my daughter graduates this year. And to me, it's like, man, I it's just mind-boggling, but my daughter's going to graduate. Well, what's going to happen in August? I don't know, but I know something's there. Why? Because God has provided then. He's provided then. He's going to provide today. He's going to provide in the future. There, your there could be a closer walk with him. Your there could be a deeper understanding of his word. Your there could be a deeper understanding of his calling on your life. And you might say, well, I don't have a calling. Well, you do. God has a calling for everyone. And it's not the fact that you're going to be a missionary somewhere, because God doesn't call everyone to be a missionary. Well, he does, but you know what I'm talking about. A missionary to go to Africa. He calls you to be a missionary where you work. He calls you to be a missionary where you live, in the subdivision or on the street where you live. He calls you to be a missionary there. He calls you to be a missionary where you go to school to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, whether it's in word and or deed. So your there could be a more mature faith. Your there could be a wider conduit of blessings, financial or resources. One thing's for sure, God doesn't want you to be the same person that you are today in the same place where it says here next year. He doesn't want you to be there. Or he doesn't want you to be here. He wants you to be there. Amen? So this is what happens with Mordecai, the bad news. No one likes bad news. Bad news calls for decisions. What do I do? Just think of the last time you had bad news. Some bad news came about. What do you do? How do you take care of the situation? What do you do? How do you fix the problem? There have been times where we received bad news, you know, bad news to me, bad news to us. And there I was wanting to put a wrench to it, trying to fix it. And God says, nope, wait, pray it through. Wait on God. And there was many times, I wish it would have been all the time, but many times God stepped in and he fixed the problem. I wonder still today, was that more than likely that was a test for me to trust in him and to rely on him, not for me to fix it. But no one likes bad news. And here, Esther chapter 4, verse 1. Again, The news is spread across. Couriers have gone to all throughout the whole province to pass out that on the 13th, Jews were going to be annihilated and wiped out. So it says, when Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. Now here, we do not get an idea that it took him a week. It took him a month. He heard the news and he did something. He responded. He responded in prayer. He responded in putting, whenever you read in scripture, someone puts on sackcloth and ashes, that is an action of humility and prayer. And I'm seeking God. And this is what he did. We don't read that he goes to the temple or he goes to the synagogue and he finds to the priest, what can I do? I got these bad news. What can I do? You know, can you teach me? It to me, when I read it, it seems like as if it happened like that. He heard the news that all that had happened. He tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. Verse 3, and in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. There was some similarity, wasn't it? Mordecai's response and all the Jews' response. You remember mostly every summer on the news, we find that there is from newspaper ads to ads on the television, commercials to be prepared for hurricane. I mean, we get that, you know, and people do get prepared. And that's a wise thing to do. Just by what we just read, I see that Mordecai and the Jews had already prepared themselves for situations. The worst time to get ready when bad news or a situation or a hurricane comes, the worst time to be prepared is when it comes and hits. That's the worst time. When are we supposed to prepare ourselves? Before, even if there is no storm, even if there is no bad news, what are we supposed to be prepared to do? To meet with God. Here, Mordecai and the Jews, whenever they met with God with some difficult bad news or difficult situations, they knew what to do. Sackcloth and ashes and cry out to God. They were afraid, fearful for their lives. I think I would be as well. Verse 4, so Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her and the queen was deeply distressed. Then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him. But he would not accept him. I mean, this guy, he was very, I wouldn't say scared, but the fact that he was going to God in humility. Coming to God in humility and in need first. Then we wait on God to do the miraculous. We must prepare ourselves for the unexpected. This isn't to reveal a lack of faith, but to prepare oneself to respond correctly in faith. In preparing ourselves, what does that look like? Every day meeting with God. Every day going to God. Every day with our journal, or every day writing on a piece of paper. And for those of you that love to write, you write your prayers down. That's probably something that I'm learning to do, because I did not like to do that in the beginning. Write my prayers down. Why? I can just talk to him. I don't need to write. But writing them down helps me later on, because I can go back to those prayers and give God praise because I see those times that he's answered my prayers. But we need to prepare ourselves for when bad news or bad difficulties come. Have you been putting into practice daily what's going to help you when the bad news comes, when the difficulties, the unexpected things happen? I've been thanking the Lord just more and more over the last few days, because I'm thinking of, you know, this time last year, we were just thankful to the Lord because we finally got a new living room set, and we no longer had concrete floors where our socks were all white because of, you know, all the sheetrock that was, you know, and the dust that was everywhere. And just thanking God that we didn't expect the flood to even hit our house. Living there, it never flooded before, and just thankful to the Lord that he has been with us and he has provided and he's come through. You know, it's sad that when we go through difficulties in life that we almost like pull our hair out, or we even contemplate throwing in the towel of following God. I don't know if you've ever been there. that difficulties happen and you said, where's God? You know what, God, if you're not here, you're not going to help me. Then fine, forget. I'll take care of it myself. And you turn your back on God and you become bitter because God didn't come through. I don't know if you've ever been there. But that's something that we don't find Mordecai and the Jews doing. What? God, you're going to allow this to happen? There's already a date? Well, God, well, where are you? But we don't find that. And so we must prepare ourselves. This is to reveal that we are putting our faith in God. Not that we have a lack of faith, but that we have faith in the one that we can't see, but we know he's there. And so messages between Esther and Mordecai are going back and forth via their maids and eunuchs. And Haman knew that Mordecai was a Jew. Thus began the hate for all the Jews. Again, racism. But he did not know that Esther was a Jew. Only Mordecai knew that. Esther found herself stuck. And Shannon mentioned this last week, being stuck between a rock and a hard place. That means that on either side or all the way around, it seems like there's no hope. You can't bust through. There's a rock. I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. Now, you may not be the one who works well in making important decisions. Anybody? You work well in difficult situations. You know exactly what to do. You know, you don't freak out. You don't sweat. You don't break out in cold sweat. Maybe you're like that, but there are people, they just don't know what to do. And they just clam up and they just close and just, you know, put the close sign over their head. I'm just closed. You may be the person whose stomach churns with fear and a lack of self-confidence when opposition arises. You see, fear didn't come upon Mordecai and the Jews. That, oh no, what are we going to do? They put sackcloth and ashes and they went to the one that can help them because they know him. And that wasn't their first rodeo. That wasn't the first time. Because they immediately, we find that what Mordecai knew what to do. Tear his clothes off, put on sackcloth, put on ashes and cry out to God. It's not a sign. When we pray to God, it's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign knowing I can't do it. I'm going to the one who can. I don't have the power, but I know the one who does. It's important that you know God's word. Meditate, memorize, and learn to stand on them now, not when the problems come. Esther 4, verses 10. Mordecai and Esther, they both went before God with this bad news. It says, then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command to Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law. That's one wall that she's stuck. Remember I said she's stuck between a rock and a hard place. All right, so that's one brick wall that she's stuck. And so whoever comes into the king that has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's these words. And Mordecai, of course, he's famous by these words that he told Esther. He told Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the Jews. Don't think that you're going to be safe. You're a Jew. You're going to die too. Verse 14, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. I like that. She wasn't just telling them to do, but she was putting herself in that situation as well. I'm going to fast as well. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. She realized that she's stuck between a rock and a hard place. I go before the king uncalled, I'm going to die. On the 13th, I'm going to die. You know what? If I die, I die. I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. I think I have a slide for Esther. Of course, that's not actual, you know, selfie picture of her. But that's what she says. In the NIV, it says, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. I want to read something from my Bible note about this passage and what Mordecai and Esther said. Esther risked her life by coming before the king. Her courageous act gives us a model to follow in approaching a difficult or dangerous task. Like Esther, we can, number one, calculate the cost. She realized her life was at stake. Number two, set priorities. She believed that the safety of the Jewish race was more important than her life. Number three, prepare. She gathered support and fasted. And of course, fasting and praying, they didn't just fast and pray to lose weight or to sound religious, but they fasted and prayed because they prayed to God. Number four, she determined a course of action and move ahead boldly. Do you have to face a hostile audience, confront a friend on a delicate subject, or talk to your family about changes to be made? Rather than dreading difficult situations or putting them off, take action with confidence by following Esther's inspiring example. She went to God. She went to God in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of the bad news. And again, on the 13th, today's the 13th. If you were to know that before you went home, there are people that were going to kill you, what would you do? Well, I'd get up on 95 and go north and don't go back home. Well, that's fine, but have you learned to go to God in the difficulties? Because wherever you go when you leave here, you're going to find difficulties and there's something's going to happen. We all get bad news, so something's going to happen to every single one of us. We're not promised tomorrow. But what we do have to learn is that we need to be prepared now to know what God says, to know who God is, and to come to God so that when we're faced with those difficulties, we're not having to say, you know what, I'm throwing that white towel. Forget about this Christianity stuff. Where are you, God? You're not here. God, you said this and you were going to do this, but you're not here now. I've learned that, you know, what David said in Psalm 23. Go ahead and pull up Psalm 23. I'm learning this. I don't have to fear. He is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I mean, let's just read this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you can go ahead and put a couple of scriptures that way on the same screen. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I just want to stop here. You're probably thinking, I've never been in the shadow of death. Well, whatever valley, that's the valley of Baca, which is in scripture, but the valley of crying, where you found yourself crying. You found yourself in some difficult situations. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. It's one thing to sing that in a song. It's one thing to sing that on the screen or in your Bible. It's a totally different thing when you are learning that. You are learning that I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That just doesn't happen accidentally or just in one service or just because you read some cool devotional one morning. It happens because we are preparing ourselves. We are setting ourselves up not to fail, but in faith to continue to walk towards God. Esther found herself in this difficult situation, stuck between a rock and a hard place. And as King David, he learned this, that he was able to sing this as a song. And we can sing this as a song. And we can break things up in Psalm 23. And yet it'll still be a song from our heart to God, that in the difficult situations, God, I know who you are and my trust is in you. And so therefore, God, I'm not going to be here next year, this time next year. I'm going to be there. Because I know you have something for me there. And if I choose to stay here, I'm actually stepping away from there where you want me to be. Mordecai and Esther, again, famous words that they said. And for her to say, and I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Those weren't just simple words. Her life was on the line. And she was going to go and she was going to talk to the king. But the fact that she fasted and prayed was not to look religious. And we're not doing these 7 days just to look religious or sound Christianese. But we are doing this that we're going to go to God on behalf of what he has for us, that we can be prepared. These 7 days are days of preparation for what he has in the future. 2019, 2020, 2021, if Jesus doesn't come by then. But we are preparing ourselves for what God has, because the worst thing to do is that when you have unexpected events, that you choose to prepare then. I'm telling you, it's too late. It's too late. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you. We thank you, God, that wherever we go, being led by your Spirit, we go with you. You are with us. You lead us and guide us. Lord, help us to learn that stepping out in faith and stepping over fear, it ought to be easier and easier every time we do it. Because our trust is being embedded more in you, deeper in you, more mature in you, and more in your word. Father, I pray that you will help us to learn to step over fear so we can get there where you want us to be. We thank you, Father. Lord, that just in this passage, in this story, Lord, that we learn. Father, we thank you, God, that you are with us. We thank you, God, that when we draw near to you, God, Lord, you are drawing near to us, because that's how you want it to be. You want us to be there with you. We thank you, Father. To you be the glory, honor, and praise.